Okay, before we go to the next session, I have a couple of announcements. First, I think we are having some parking issues. I think the parking lot here in the upstairs is full. Also, downstairs the parking lot is full because some of the cars are not parking correctly. So I would request the following cars to be moved to the proper position immediately so that more devotees can come and park. So right now there is not even a single parking space downstairs. So Toyota Corolla Silver NJ ZVA 19S, Honda Odyssey Dark Blue, NJ License Plate YWJ 24T, Camry with black, NJ License Plate YWB 11F, Camry with black color, NJ License Plate WHC 81J, Honda Accord, NJ License Plate 24X40N, Mitsubishi Lancer, NJ URX 61U, and Chrysler Town and Country, NJ U14EUT. Again, if you have parked downstairs, actually you can talk to Ramchandra Babu, who can guide you. He will be downstairs. If you are blocking the parking lot, so please go and move immediately so that more devotees can park. Thank you. Also, a couple of announcements. I just would like to extend some thanks before we go to the next session. First of all, I would like to thank Garud Prabhu, who has been cooking since morning for both Garud Prabhu is never in the limelight, probably still working in the kitchen. So again, thank you, Garud Prabhu. Also, I would like to thank Anand Rupa for spending practically entire day yesterday for bringing Boga for both lunch and dinner. Oh, also, great thanks to Ramchandra Prabhu, who coordinated all the volunteers for today. So many volunteers for cooking, cleaning, and other things. So, thank you very much. So, this session will continue till 8 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, we'll start serving prasadam outside. I request everyone to take prasad not in the temple room but outside. It's going to be still daylight outside, so please try to take prasad outside. And also, at 8 o'clock, we still have Gauram Prabhu will be doing a kirtan here. So it will go on for some more time. So again, 8 o'clock, prasad will be starting. Also, there will be a kirtan here. So without further ado, let's very enthusiastically welcome Gauram Prabhu again with loud
Hariva!
Okay, so I was thinking of bringing it. Is Anand Vilas somewhere here? Can someone maybe see outside if Anand Vilas Prabhu is here because he needs to operate the laptop here? Okay, he's here. Also, I would request everyone to please move forward as much as possible. We still have more devotees standing outside and they would like to come in. Inside the temple room. So please try to squeeze as much as possible. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is fine, that turned off.
Okay.
take a minute to
walk. So the three symptoms are, first is the anarthas will start increasing. One will see an increase in the anarthas from within. And as we are part of bhakti process and we are going through anartha nivritti. So anartha nivritti means we are trying to overcome our anarthas. Cheto darpana mardana bho maha davagni nirvapana. So the process of anartha nivritti is described in the Shikshashtaka. So it will take time for the anarthas to be eradicated. Right? So therefore, when we decrease the intensity of our study of Srila Prabhupada's books, then the anarthas will start growing. So that's the first principle. And anarthas basically mean greed, lust, anger, and all of these different things which we are struggling with within. Trividam narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanam kamam krodham tatha lobham tasmat etat trayam tejet. I think you're sure what you're doing? Just check it out. So, Krishna explains in the Gita, Trividham, there are three gates which go to hell. Dwaram nashanam atmanam kamam, first is lust, krodham, second is anger, and third is lobham, is greed. Tasmat etat trayam tyajet. We must try to overcome all these three. So what happens is, when we are overwhelmed by these, we lose our discrimination. Like that. So, basically we are carrying a lot of anger within because of many, many lifetimes of trying to enjoy sense gratification, and that is frustrated. And therefore, the frustrated lust results in a lot of anger, krodham. Bhagavatam describes that great yogis cross oceans of various anarthas, but many times they drown in a small puddle of anger. So therefore it's not easy to control these anarthas, so it's always good to read about and continuously be in touch with various pastimes which show the effect of these anarthas and how even practicing transcendentalists have been affected by these anarthas. So when we are constantly reading and studying these pastimes, we become purified of the tendencies to be controlled by these anarthas, like that. We had one Gita course in the temple, and one of our devotees, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, usually takes this Gita course. It's a very nice presentation. So, out of the 6 days, one of the days, there was discussion on law of karma. Why do bad things happen to good people? So very, very nicely explained concept. So the person was one of the person who attending for the first time the Gita course. So every point was coming out as a revelation, and he was getting excited by the whole presentation. He was saying, yes, this is right. Yes, this is right. And he loved it. And when the presentation ended, he came up and, you know, congratulated Radha Gopinath Prabhu and said that, now I can understand why so many bad things happen in my life. I can connect all of that together. There is a previous life, there is karmas and this and that, and so many things are there. Everything now makes perfect sense to me. I've always been confused about this. Thank you so much for this presentation. Now I think I've found out the exact reason why I keep getting angry all the time. So he congratulated, he was excited, he took the prasad and he went to the shoe stall and found that his shoes have been stolen. There has been an exchange. and he became so angry. You know, just few minutes back he had only appreciated the philosophy, why bad things happen to good people. Then he didn't expect another bad thing to happen so soon. And then he started screaming, you know, you guys don't know how to manage a temple, you don't know how to keep anyone's shoes, this, that, and then he left, never to come back again. That was the end. So it was a major loss. We lost a good soul. But, you know, the main point is it's not so easy to reconcile with realities. And the anarthas within make it more difficult for us to see what is going on. So therefore, when we are in touch with the Shastras, then we can see, oh, such great souls like Shaubari Rishi had difficulty when they distanced themselves from association. I should be careful. Bharat Maharaj was on the Bhav platform. Still he was affected, because he thought that if he practices alone, you know, he can be safe, but that is dangerous. So I should take more shelter of the devotees. So it helps us take to the process of Krishna consciousness and become purified of our own anarthas much better. Right? And then one may be thinking, because many times people ask, how much is enough? You know, I'm working, I'm making money, so what's the end to that? So then there are so many stories and pastimes you will read, and that will help us cope up with our own desires and demands. Because as far as the conditioned soul is concerned, there is no end to the desires. There is no end. You know? People say, okay, this much is okay for me. And then when that much you get, you say, okay, some more. And then you say, okay, some more. And one keeps comparing and continuing. In Bengal, there is the story of Mithin Babu. He was an addict of lottery. So he would buy so many lottery tickets. But interestingly, he never won any lottery. For 40 years, he was buying tickets. And his kids would make fun of him, but still he was like addicted. So once, after 40 years, he actually won a lottery for 10 lakhs. And his son happened to see. And his son was worried, how will we convey it to father? Because after 40 years, first time, he is going to be winning a lottery and he is a heart patient. So he may get a heart attack because of the ecstasy. So they decided, let us convey it through our family doctor. You know, so in case something happens, he'll take care. So he called the family doctor, and the family doctor goes to Mithin Babu and said, "Arey, Mithin Babu, if suppose you win 2 lakhs in a lottery, what you will do?" He says, "Oh, 2 lakhs, I will make a nice temple in my village." "Okay, okay, Nitin Babu. If you win 4 lakhs in a lottery, what you will do?" He said, "Oh, I will run a nice school and feed so many children in that school." "Okay, if you win 6 lakhs, what you will do?" "Well, I'll make a big community hall and organize so many nice marriages for poor people and, you know, give in charity." "If you win 8 lakhs, what you will do?" "Well, I will serve all the farmers in the village and give subsidies to them and do this and do that." "And Nitin Babu, if you win 10 lakhs, just like in the last lottery you have purchased a ticket, and suppose you have won 10 lakhs, what you will do?" And for Nitin Babu, it was a ridiculous proposal. So he said to the doctor, "I will give it to you." The doctor got a heart attack. The doctor got a heart attack. So the prospect of getting more and more and more is so exciting. And one thinks that that will give me more and more pleasure. But then you read Bali Maharaj pastime. And then in Bali Maharaj pastime, Vamandev comes. And Bali Maharaj is saying, "Ask more, ask more." And Vamandev is saying, "Only 3 steps. And an average person in Kali Yuga will think, not sufficiently practical, not intelligent enough. He's offering everything and he's asking 3 steps. What's going on? So then the whole discussion you know, follows. And then the pastime comes out in such a way that one understands that satisfaction is the greatest wealth. Right? Satisfaction is the greatest wealth. And in the 10th canto Bhagavatam, if you read, after Krishna's Janma, you know, there are different ways of purification explained. Kalena snana shauchabhyam sanskarai tapasejaya shudhyanti dane santushtya. So there are 10 ways in which things can be purified. Kalena, if you have all these leaves of the trees and the mountain peaks, how they are purified by time. Nobody takes a hose pipe and, you know, throws water on it. By time they are purified. How is the body purified? Snana, by bathing. Shauchabhyam, how are objects purified? Objects are purified by, you know, really scrubbing them with all kinds of soap and everything. Sanskarai, how is birth purified? Birth is purified by sanskar or purificatory ceremony. Sanskar. There are 10 types of sanskar described. So that is the way of purifying one's birth. How are the senses purified? Tapasa. By austerity, senses are purified. How are objects purified? When they are offered in worship, ijaya. A normal flower in a garden is not worshipable. You take that flower, offer it to Radha Krishna, Gaur Nitai, and immediately so many devotees are, you know, grabbing it, that they want it, and they place it on the head. You don't go to the garden and you don't go on any flower growing on a tree and place your head. You don't see people, you know, going and placing head on top of roses in a garden. You do that. But you take one flower, there may be 100 roses of the best variety growing in the garden, but you will not place your head on that. But you take a simple marigold and offer it to the lotus feet of Gaur Nitai, that become more worshipable. Ijaya. Samskara tapasa ijaya. So any object, anything become worshipable by offering to the Lord. So similarly, it doesn't matter how many skills and how many qualities one has, if one offers one's life to Krishna, then that person becomes worshipable. Jai Shri Gaur Nitai ki. So Narottam Das Thakur says, Nitaina bolilo mukhe, majilo samsara suke, vidya kule ki kori betar. So if one doesn't chant the name of Lord Nityananda, Nitaina bolilo mukhe, majilo samsara suke, is guaranteed to be absorbed in sense gratification. Vidya kule ki kori betar. Even if he is very highly learned, born in a very high family, has all kinds of material qualifications, ki koribe. What can it do? It is not going to create great qualities in that person. Ohankara motta hoya nitai pada pasariya asatyera satya kurimani. So a person out of that false ego becomes intoxicated. Ahankara matta hoya Nitai pada pasariya, and one forgets the lotus feet of Krishna, forgets the lotus feet of Gaur Nitai, and asatyera satya korimani, and one thinks asatya to be satya, false or illusion to be reality. So therefore, one loses one's discrimination. Therefore, when anything is offered to Krishna, then the process of offering purifies it. So ijaya. Shudhyanti dane, how is money purified? Money is purified by charity. So money, one thinks, will bring happiness. So that is a great myth. Just like if you say food will bring satisfaction, that is a right statement. But the question is how much? How much quantity? As much as it can be digested. Then it is very healthy. Okay, so somebody can eat 4 or 5 chapatis and then, you know, he eats in a certain quantity, then it is very good. If one decides chapati is available, I will eat 100. Why 100? I will eat 200. So how long will it go? How is it possible? So one may eat, but it will have an effect. It will create indigestion and disease. So similarly, one thinks that money brings happiness, but actually one doesn't understand the subtle effects of increase in wealth beyond one's capacity to digest it. So it has a certain effect. And therefore, when a person is completely absorbed in the process of acquiring more and more beyond his needs, and one is overwhelmed by greed, that money actually has the power to create depression. Because it is Lakshmi which is not used in the service of Narayan. It is excess. So therefore, it creates indigestion in the mind. And therefore, a person is bewildered what's going on. But it is the effect of that. Everything has an effect. Only thing is people don't know the signs of how different subtle things function. So therefore, how to purify that? Shudhyanti dane. When we give charity, then one should not think that charity is a concept created by various spiritual organizations to encourage people, please give, the master is coming, please give. No, it is a process by which the wealth is purified and the contaminating effect on the mind does not happen. So therefore, dana santushtya. How is mind purified? Mind is purified by santosh or satisfaction. And how is the soul purified? The soul is purified by self-realization. So like that, there are different ways in which different things can be purified, and that is described, you know, and how we can be purified of these different anarthas. So just one shloka, but so much of information, so much insight, depth, and there is sufficient information in one verse to literally transform the entire mode of our life. The direction of our life can change if we take shelter of each and every one of these wonderful verses in the Bhagavatam, in the Gita, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, like that. So therefore, like one of our brahmacharis was out distributing books on the local trains in Mumbai. So he was showing the Bhagavad Gita to the audience, and he was saying, Gita lijiye, Bhagavad Gita. So one gentleman suddenly got up and he said, you guys keep distributing these books. How many Vivekanands you have given birth to? So this brahmachari said, we are brahmachari, we don't give birth to anyone. Screaming, you guys should do something practical. What is this? You're not doing anything. You're not, you know, doing a job. You're just selling books and this and that. Dharam se kiska bhala hua hai? Who has benefited by all this? So people don't see the practical value. People don't understand the practical value because they think that this is all theoretical. This is all useless. But when one's heart is transformed, when anarthas are removed, so what happens is automatically people become more friendly to each other. Okay, we may conduct many seminars on Vaishnava relationships, but as long as there is envy in the heart, we cannot really have a very deep idea of relationship. The seminars are good, it will prevent us from, you know, getting on each other's case. But to the extent the anarthas are removed, to that extent the relationship becomes sweet. So therefore the anartha nivritti is a very critical part of our progress in Krishna consciousness. And once we do not take shelter of these books properly, then the anarthas will grow. Secondly, the doubts will be created. We start doubting the philosophy. We start having doubts about the philosophy. You know, what is this philosophy, what is, you know, karma, and what is, why these things are happening. I was returning from a preaching tour of Singapore, and you know, in Singapore you can't go in a regular ISKCON brahmachari clothes. So I was wearing pant shirt, and I came to the immigration back in India, and one of the immigration officers who took my passport, he used to watch the Atma serial regularly. So he looked at me, he recognized me, and he was shocked. And he said, "Chhod diya?" Maharaj, kya hua? Ho gaya? I said, no, Baba. I went for a preaching tour, and you know, because of the situation there, I had to travel like this. Bola, achha, achha. So, Gita paath kar rahe na? Thanks for your concern, but so far everything is going okay. Well, yeah, I wanted to really ask you, you know, lectures I'm hearing, but I'm still not able to understand this concept of reincarnation, because I feel my grandfather has reincarnated as my son. And I want to really understand what are the symptoms, you know. And I see that you are here in front of me, and it is 1:30 in the morning, you know, 2 o'clock at night, and nobody is behind you. So it's a good time. Let us discuss, man. My driver has come to pick me up. If I don't come out in 1 hour, he'll go back, and I'll be left stranded. So probably some other time. No. Nobody is there, nobody to disturb. Let us discuss this, because it is bothering me for too long. It's a major doubt. So then somehow I convinced him to come to the temple, and then he came later, and he happened to be a relative of one of our other brahmacharis. So the doubts are like demons, and they create, you know, really such problems within, that till those doubts are removed, we cannot be peaceful. So sometimes you may be afflicted by a doubt, but the beauty of Srila Prabhupada's books is, for every doubt you have, the solution is there. But you should just know how to search for it. The doubt may be there. Ashraddhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya mam nivartante. I had gone to meet one of the assistant commissioners of police. He was a very famous encounter specialist. This is a term which is coined in India, so you may be familiar. Very, you know, diplomatic word. Encounter specialist means basically they kill the criminals, because they don't want to go through the whole justice system, and ultimately they are released, and also they just kill. So this guy had already killed 70-80 top-notch criminals, which were very famous. So one of our brahmacharis, his father was a policeman. So he had grown up with the police. So he wanted to really preach to the police. We were trying to discourage him. Baba, look, very dangerous proposal. Why you want to go there? So, nene, we should preach to them. So then he had taken me to this person. And the first question this commissioner asked me, that if there is a police officer who knows that a criminal will be released in due course of time, somehow by manipulating the system, and he wants to protect society, and so the police officer takes the law in his own hands and kills this criminal, he thought, I don't know about him. He thought, I never heard about his reputation. So he just put a theoretical question. And if he keeps killing many such criminals for the protection of citizens only, so is such killing karma, akarma, or vikarma? Very philosophical. So I had to be very careful, because I was dealing with encounter specialists. So I said that, okay, Arjuna had directly Krishna with whom he could clarify. But many doubts will come in our life on a day-to-day basis. Should I do this? Should I do that? That is called dharma sankat. Dharma sankat means sometimes the situation is such that damn if you do, damn if you don't. you know. Many times people ask me, Prabhuji, how to become humble? I said, join ISKCON. And they asked me, how to become more humble? I said, join management. How to become most humble? Become in charge. Everything is guaranteed. You will be on the fast track of humility. Automatically. You know? So those who are in management understand what I'm saying. One time one gentleman was, you know, after one of my classes, he came to me. There was some incident which had happened and we had taken some decision. And I was kind of executing that and he was affected. So he came to me and said, आप जब भागवतम लेक्चर देते हो तो सुखदेव गोस्वामी लगते हो, मैनेजमेंट करते हो तो यमराज लगते हो. थैंक यू, एटलीस्ट यू डिडंट से यमदूत. गिव सम रेस्पेक्ट. सो द नेचर ऑफ डिसीजन मेकिंग इज दैट इट हैज टू बी डन, बट एट द सेम टाइम इट इज नॉट पॉसिबल टू सेटिस्फाई एवरीवन. And then many times we get affected by the doubts. Is this right? Is this proper? You know, was it just? Should this have been done? Should this not have been done? So then, when we are overcome by doubts, I have personally seen that if you prayerfully study the purports of Srila Prabhupada, then Krishna somehow arranges for the right words to actually come out of those pages. And then those words, that sound vibration has the power to heal the wounds in the heart. So therefore you should always remember that physical wounds may be healed with the help of a first aid kit, but the wounds of the heart can only be cured or healed by sound. Sound is the only way. There is no other way. Desha kalartha yuktani hrittapopashamani cha haranti prasabham chittam govinda gitani me. So after Krishna's disappearance to the spiritual world, Arjuna was in a bewildered state. Arjuna could not take that shock of separation from Krishna, because Arjuna had spent so many years in the loving association of Krishna. He was his best friend. We felt traumatized by the loss of a close friend or a relative or a family member. What to speak of losing the association of someone as perfect and as loving and as blissful as Krishna? How traumatic it was for Arjuna. So Arjuna is remembering, oh, what wonderful times I had with Krishna. Narmyanyodara ruchiran smita shobhitani he partha he arjuna sakhe purunandaneti. He's saying, Krishna would speak such sweet words to me. Krishna would reciprocate with so much of love and affection. He was affection personified. He partha he arjuna he sakhe purunandaneti. He would reciprocate like that with me. And that reciprocation of Krishna with me has touched my heart so deeply. Sanjalpitani naradeva hridisprashani smartur luthanti hridayam mama madhavasya. And when I remember those exchanges, smartur luthanti hridayam, my heart is captivated. I cannot forget. Those memories are so powerfully embedded in my heart. Mama Madhavasya, O husband of the goddess of fortune, by your disappearance you have plunged me into an ocean of misfortune. How do I cope with this tragedy? So then there is a big question mark. How will Arjuna cross this ocean of tears? So the conditioned soul is drowning in an ocean of tears. How was it possible for him to cross this ocean of tears? There is only one solution: sound. Desha kala artha yuktani. At that time Arjuna remembers the sound vibrations which he heard on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Bhagavad Gita. He takes shelter of that. Because many times people think that, oh, it was easy for Arjuna because Krishna was personally there. In my life he is not there. How will I tell? If Krishna comes and speaks Gita, then everything will be alright. You know? But no, it is there. I told you last year, someone I showed the Gita and he said, are you giving the Gita for free? I said, no, 70 rupees. He said, Hare Krishna spoke to Arjuna free. Oh, you are charging 70 rupees. I said, he spoke in Kurukshetra, this is Bombay, 70 rupees transport charge. So So people think, oh, Arjuna had a, you know, gala time because Krishna was personally there. But I am going through difficulty in Kali Yuga, in America, you know, where is Krishna? And don't show me a Gita and say there is a solution there. That's just a book. But there is evidence in the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto itself that during Arjuna's life, he once again took shelter of the Gita in Krishna's absence. So the verse says, Desha kalartha yuktani khritatapa upashamani cha. This Bhagavad Gita has three characteristics. On the sound vibration, transcendental sound, divine sound vibration, the Gita, the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is imbued with these three qualities. Number one, Desha kala artha yuktani. It has the capacity to reveal the meaning in a very contemporary fashion, according to the unique problem you are facing right now. Although the Gita must have been spoken 5,000 years back in Kurukshetra, in Haryana. But sitting here in New Jersey or Philadelphia or New York City in 2011 with a certain kind of problem which was not even existing 5,000 years back, you can still find the relevance. That is how those sound vibrations have been organized. Desha kala artha yuktani. It has the capacity to reveal artha, meaning according to desha and kala, according to the time and the circumstance. Other things are details. Secondly, khrit tap upashamanicha. It has the capacity to extinguish the heat generated within the heart because of anxiety, because of fear, because of various kinds of frustrated expectations. The heart becomes heated up. There is a blazing fire of dissatisfaction which is blazing inside. And this sound vibration has the capacity to extinguish that blazing fire. Hrid tap upashamani cha. So many times people think, if I just keep speaking about my problem to my friends, it will be solved. That is first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was just telling his problems to Krishna. But then Krishna had to tell him to stop and then ask him to hear the Gita. And then when Arjuna started hearing the Gita, he found the solution to his problems. So therefore, we should understand that when we go through difficulties, expressing our heart, sharing our heart with others is like expressing to the doctor that, okay, I'm having a cut here, I'm having a wound here, I'm having a pain here. But you can't be going on repeating that thing. Finally, you have to take the medicine. Till the medicine comes, just expressing the problems repeatedly ad infinitum is not going to solve it. So the wounds in the mind and the heart can only be solved by one thing, sound. Hrit tapa upashamani cha. It has the capacity to shaman or destroy that or to soothe it. Haranti prasabham chittam. And the third quality of this sound is it can captivate our hearts perfectly. And we will be completely attracted by Krishna. One can become absorbed in Krishna. So it can captivate one's heart. It can elevate us like a flight. It can take us beyond the clouds. So even if the problems are around, it won't affect us because we are riding on the flight of the sound, much beyond the problems. Govinda Abhitanine. The words spoken by Govinda are ringing in my ears, Arjuna is saying. And he's taking shelter of that transcendental sound vibration. Therefore, as practicing devotees of the Hare Krishna movement, we should know that it is called Hare Krishna movement. Jai Shri Shri Prabhupada. And what it means is that although the problems may be there, but we have to rise above by moving and taking shelter of the transcendental sound of Harikatha, of the words of the literatures, Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and chanting of the Harinam. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And then when we chant nicely and hear nicely and read nicely, so practically majority of our solution to our problems will automatically come in that. So therefore, please understand that a very critical part of the spiritual life is within our hands. And that is how we take shelter of the sound vibration by daily chanting nicely and reading and hearing nicely. So 2 hours of chanting and 2 hours of reading, 4 hours is within our control. Then remaining 20 hours, what happens in my life, either in office or in family, or in the social circuit, or in the ISKCON circuit, or anywhere else, nationally, internationally, it is not within our control. So the difference between a happy devotee and a struggling devotee is those 4 hours. Those 4 hours make all the difference. So Prabhupada said, to bring a person to Krishna consciousness is difficult. To keep him in Krishna consciousness is more difficult. And to keep him happy in Krishna consciousness is most difficult. So therefore, the difference between the consciousness and the attitude and the experience of one devotee and another is how we take shelter of that sound. Whether we are absorbed in that sound vibration, or we are just doing it mechanically to get on with our, you know, day's activities. So many times we may perform those activities mechanically, we don't really take shelter. Even while chanting, you know, one person was telling me, the only joy I get in chanting is when the counter bead comes down. 1, 2, 3. You know, it is like coming to Bhav Bhakti. When the 16th round comes down, I feel I have attained prema. And then I know I don't have to touch it for the next day. Another person was telling me, you know, nowadays I'm having very busy schedule. I start my rounds at 9 o'clock at night, sitting on the bed, looking at the pillow. And I keep thinking, who brought me to ISKCON? How did I land up here? And one person was telling me, "Arey, Prabhuji, ye mala phansi ka phanda lag." So therefore, no power can come between you and your beanbag, and no power can come between you and your bookshelf, except your own mind. So if you want your life to change for the positive, and you want to have a really, genuinely, substantial, blissful experience in Krishna consciousness, it is this 4 hours out of the 24. Most people keep discussing what goes on in their 20 hours, and they think that will make the difference. that 20 hours we have very little control. We have very little control how others will treat us. You have very little control what emails you will get. You have very little control over who screams at you or doesn't scream at you. We have very little control. But we do have control over how we sit and attentively hear the Holy Name in an absorbed fashion. We have control over when we get up and try to focus on that sound vibration. We have control over how deeply we want to study each and every word of Srila Prabhupada. People keep discussing, Are ISKCON, this is not good, that is not good in ISKCON, this is problem in ISKCON, this problem. Are Baba, two things are perfect in ISKCON. The 16 letter Hare Krishna Mahamantra and Prabhupada's purports. I think these two are more than enough. Even if other things, there are problems or whatever, these two things are perfect creations. Nobody can have issue. I have issues with the Mahamantra. Can anyone say? You know? We cannot. So therefore, if we just take shelter of these two, life will change. Life will transform for the positive. And therefore, this downs in the philosophy will be taken care of. And the third is, another symptom of spiritual illness is when these doubts grow and we are not having a good experience, one will neglect the service. Because one doesn't see the relevance and one will give up the service. So in Chaupati, in most of the so many projects we are doing, the basic philosophy behind all of that is very simple. A happy devotee stays. A devotee who is happy will stay on in Krishna consciousness. And to keep a person happy, you know, so many needs have to be taken care of. That is all. So therefore, when one doesn't have the proper connection with Krishna and he has doubts, he will not be able to perform his service. So many excuses will come. So many reasons for not doing the service will come. So if you see, Chaitanya Charitamrita was written by Kaviraj Goswami at the age of 95. At the age of 95, who can imagine of performing this kind of service? Of writing such a magnificent literature. So Kaviraj Goswami says, Ami vriddha jaratur likhite ka paikur mana kichu smarane na hoy na dekhiye nayane na suniye shravane tabu likhi e bada vismay. He says, I am old. Ami vriddha jaratur, I am afflicted by all the symptoms of old age. Likhite kaapaykar, as I am writing, my hands are trembling. Mana kichu smarane na hoy, I am not able to remember anything. Na dekhiye nayane na suniye shravane, I am not able to see with my eyes, I am not able to hear with my ears. This is the state of total physical handicap. Tabu likhi ebad avismay, still I am writing. That is the chamatkar of the Lord. That is a great wonder of Krishna's mercy. So when Krishna wants to empower us, then all other physical and mental conditions are of no consequence. Whatever conditions one may be in, if one takes shelter of Krishna and Krishna empowers us, anything can happen. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, the power which we get to perform any activity is based on karma, our past karma. But as you know, in India many times in vehicles they change the engine from petrol to diesel, or sometimes from diesel to petrol. So when you change the fuel, you know, when you change the type of the engine, the fuel also must change. So if you have changed your vehicle from diesel engine to petrol engine and then continue to put diesel, then the engine will not work. You have changed it to petrol, now you have to put petrol. So like that, before coming to Krishna consciousness, We may have manifested lot of power based on our previous karma. But as soon as we start chanting the holy names and take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna changes the engine. The fuel of karma no longer functions. Then the fuel changes. And that fuel which powers us after we become devotees is the blessings. The blessings of the Lord. Blessings of Krishna and the blessings coming through the parampara, the blessings of the Vaishnavas, that fuel actually empowers us. So therefore, we should be aware that when we take shelter of these literatures, understand these things properly, serve nicely, by doing this service, blessings come, and when the blessings come, then we get empowered. So therefore, even someone on the stage of Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is writing, Chaitanya Lila Ratnasa Surupera Bhandar Tehot Mila Raguna Tera Kante Taha Kichu Ye Shunilu Taha Ihavastarilo Bhakta Gana Dilu Ehi Bhete. So he's 95 years old, but so humble. He's saying this Chaitanya Lila is like Ratna, is like jewels. Swarupera Bhandar, and all of these pastimes of Sriman Mahaprabhu was with Swarup Damodar Goswami because he was a direct witness of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Teho Thuila Raguna Tera Kante. And Das Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, heard all of these pastimes sitting, you know, at the lotus feet of Swarup Damodar Goswami. He spoke these pastimes on the bank of Radhakund. I was sitting there along with so many other Vaishnavas listening to these descriptions from Das Goswami. Taha kichu ye shunilo, taha iha vistarilo. Whatever Raghunath Das Goswami spoke, I heard it submissively with rapt attention. And I am simply repeating those words of Das Goswami as it is. Why? Bhakta gana dilu ehi bhete, as a gift to the Vaishnavas. I am just performing this as a service at the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, on the order of the Vaishnavas, like that. So therefore, this entire literature, Chaitanya Charitamrita, has been written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami with this consciousness, in the mood of service to serve the Vaishnavas, on the order of the superior Vaishnavas. So with this kind of consciousness, we will be able to take shelter of entering into these literatures. Because Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva wrote so many literatures without personal intervention. But Bhagavatam can only come by the direct touch of a Bhagavata. So Narad Muni had to intervene. And then Bhagavatam flowed. And then Raghunath Das Goswami came in and Chaitanya Charitamrita flowed. So therefore we can see that if you want to enter into these books, that is only possible in the mood of proper service at the lotus feet of the great souls. Otherwise it's not possible. Therefore Narottam Das Thakur says, Gaura paho na bhajya mainu premarata na dhana helaya halainu, that I have uselessly wasted my life and forgotten the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and therefore lost this prema ratana dhana. Sat sanga chhadi kaino vasate vilas te karane lagilo ye karma bandha phas. And as soon as I give up satsanga, immediately I start engaging in sense gratification. And as soon as I start sense gratification, karma bandha phas, the actions and reactions capture me. Mora karma mora hathe galai bandhiya uvishaya vishthagarthe diyanche philaiya. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami come in front of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, offer their prostrate obeisances. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami are such pure souls, but they are saying, my dear Lord, we are absorbed in the mud of sense gratification. mora karma mora hate galai bandhiya. It is like tying a noose around our own neck and destroying ourselves. Ku vishaya vishthagar fe yati filayo. We are completely absorbed in the sense gratification, and therefore we have lost the contact with the lotus feet. And therefore, please give us your mercy. Uvamane eche chand dhorite chahe kore taiche ei vanchamore hrudaye antare. My dear Lord, you are there like a moon. We are like a dwarf here. How can we access your mercy? It is possible. Just like the moonshine can touch anyone, your mercy can touch us. Please give us your mercy. Lord Chaitanya looks upon them with great love. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraces Rupa and Sanatan and says, Aji hoite tuhar naam Rupa Sanatan dainya chhada tumar dainye phate mor man. He says, O Rupa, O Sanatan, they were known as Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik. From this day onwards, your name will be Rup and Sanatan. Aji hete tuhar naam Rupa Sanatan. I give you the name Rupa and Sanatan. And the first instruction I am giving you after initiation is Dainya Chhada, give up your humility. What a standard of initiation. The spiritual master is telling, please give up your humility. Tomar Dainya Phate Moravan, your humility is breaking my heart. You know, in our case, spiritual master has to scream, become humble. Try to become humble. Somebody approached Radhanath Maharaj and said, Maharaj, please give me your blessing so that I can remain humble. Maharaj said, first become humble. Remaining you can think later. So when Prabhupada was preaching here in New York City, so there was this famous brainwashing case, and they were saying that, you know, ISKCON is a cult. And Prabhupada said, how can they call it a cult? Our entire process is based on spiritual literatures, ancient tradition. So Prabhupada said, we should fight this case ourselves, and you should bring the Bhagavatam in full, and you make your argument from the Bhagavatam. First canto, first chapter, first verse, present in detail. You know, then they will say, okay, what is your further evidence? Then you present next day, second verse. Third day, third verse. Convert the court case into Bhagavatam class. So then somebody asked Prabhupada, then how many? Prabhupada said, all 84 volumes you bring. And should we take sections? Prabhupada said, no, line by line, present everything. Then after a few days, then the judge said, how much more evidence you have? They said, we are just bigger now. So he called up his friend who was a Harvard Divinity professor and asked him, what do you think about these Krishnas? Are they a cult? And the library party had given a set of Prabhupada's books to that professor. So he had a very good impression about Prabhupada's books and his ISKCON. He said, no, no, Swami Prabhupada, authentic. It's not a cult. It's bona fide. It's from the ancient traditions. I have studied those books. So then this judge, you know, he didn't want to go through the whole Bhagavad Katha. So he just said, you know, ISKCON is a bona fide religion, not a cult. So therefore, the ultimate basis is these books. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, books are the basis, the foundation. So when you see a huge building standing, you don't see the foundation. So when you see a steady, happy devotee, and you see someone, you know, practicing Krishna consciousness nicely, what you see is only the building. What you don't see is the foundation. And that foundation is what happens in the morning between 3 o'clock and 8 o'clock. That is the foundation on which any steady devotee can stand up in the long run and do something tangible and substantial in Krishna consciousness in this one lifetime. Because it is the sound which can empower. What happens after that is only a detail. So therefore, once the fuel is there and the ignition is there, then everything will happen. So that's what is described here. Okay, let's go to the next. So, another question is, sometimes a devotee will become attached to one book in particular and he will read that book again and again. Is such intensive study desirable? Okay. Srila Prabhupada's four books present attachment from different levels of realization. So, Bhagavad Gita is a nutshell. It describes Krishna's words. Srimad Bhagavatam is more elaborate. Bhagavatam describes Krishna's activities. Chaitanya Charitamrita is most elaborate. It describes Krishna's mind. Nectar of Devotion is law book. And it describes the path, Krishna's path, what path we must take to attain Krishna. So words, activities, mind and path, like that. These are the different levels of Srila Prabhupada's books. So we should know, you know, the connection between what we are doing and, you know, what's our final goal. Lord Chaitanya came, he danced and chanted in ecstasy. But he was afraid that in future people may think, what is bhakti? Oh, bhakti means in front of Radhyatra cart you dance and you cry. If you just jump up and down, tears come out, probably that is prema. So Mahaprabhu did not have the time to personally explain the process. So he empowered Rupa and Sanatana Goswami and they described the process and the science behind this flow of tears in great detail. I don't think it is cheap. It is a detailed science. And Srila Prabhupada had the diligence to translate word by word. If he had omitted word-to-word translation, he could have translated probably more books. But Prabhupada took the effort to translate word by word. Why? Because word-to-word translation is also important. Prabhupada had limited time, old age, lots to do. Whatever he did was with great thought. So therefore every word is like very important. So just like so I think you should just move a little from this. Yeah, okay, no problem. So so Lord Chaitanya, he expected the six Goswamis to explain the entire science which he could not explain personally, so that everyone can see that connection. The connection between what is what we are doing and what is the final goal. Because if you don't see the connection, then it just becomes ritual. So we should know that, you know, within the word spiritual, the word ritual is there. When you lose the spirit and you remove the spirit from the spiritual, what is left is ritual. And that is something which we have been doing for a long period of time. So therefore, what makes our connection in ISKCON different is that what we are doing is with the proper understanding, with the proper idea of why we are doing a certain thing a certain way, like that. Like, there were two gentlemen, one was digging, you know, one was digging on the road and the other person was covering that. Whatever was being dug, he was covering it with the mud. And then he went to the next hole and he was again digging the second hole. And when he dug up the second hole, this fellow came and covered the mud. He went to the third hole. He dug a third hole and whatever mud came out, the second person came and covered it over. So one gentleman was watching this and he was wondering, what is this going on? Is this like an innovative way of creating employment? That you are digging and then covering? What is this? So he just could not contain his curiosity. He went to them and said, gentlemen, what's going on? One is digging, other is covering. He said, no, actually there are three members in our team. I dig. Then the second member is there. He plants the trees. after he plants the trees, then he is supposed to put the mud. The second person is on leave today. But we are both doing our duties perfectly. We are following very diligently. So therefore, many times, as Rupa Goswami explains in NOI, Niyamagraha, we don't know exactly the spirit or the essence of doing something, and then we just continue to do. Like there was a very successful businessman. So he was asked by one reporter, what is the secret of your success? And he thought deeply and he said two words. I said, oh really? Wow. You got such big success and you can just explain your success in two words? I said, yes, just two words. What's that? Right decisions. I said, oh wow. He wrote it down. And then he said, but you know, how do you know what is the right decision? He again closed his eyes and he said, one word. I said, my God, what is that? He said, experience. I said, wow, now we get the mantra for success. And then he started thinking, okay, you make the right decisions, you get experience, but how do you get the experience? He said, another two words. I said, really, what is that? He said, wrong decisions. Wrong decisions. So therefore, in the NOI, Prabhupada mentions three levels of intelligence. The highest level is you learn by hearing and reading. And the lowest level is you learn by your experience. You do something and learn, and by trial and error. So the Shastra, it contains the experience of great souls from different generations. And by seeing their experience and learning from their experience, we can mold our life in a certain direction. So therefore here it is described, the attachment from different levels of realization is there. Gita is basic, then Chaitanya Charitamrita is like the mind of Krishna. So therefore Prabhupada established ISKCON. For, and he said to Satsuru Maharaj and one or two more devotees in a meeting in Boston, Srila Prabhupada said, ISKCON has been created for four things. The purpose of ISKCON is fourfold. First purpose is, we want to awaken the souls from their sleeping condition. Reawaken their connection with Krishna. That is the first thing. You know, so Jivere Surupoy, Krishner Nityadas. To awaken their original constitutional position. So therefore, Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam, to create a revolution in the hearts of the impious civilization. Right? Bhagavatam. Revolution in the heart. So it's a revolution we are trying to create, but in the heart. I was doing a jail program last year at Arthur Road Jail. You know, Arthur Road Jail is where Ajmal Kassab was kept, who was caught in the 2611 blasts, you know. And the government was spending, you know, literally up to a few crores every day for his protection. So I was giving a talk, and right in front of me, in the first row, four people were sitting with big tilak, Vaishnav tilak, and with a photo of Krishna around their neck and a tulsi mala and everything. And I was wondering, who are these people? You know, have they been caught and brought into the jail, or they are the next speakers after me? Jail, you cannot ask anyone also, kaise aana hua? How did you come? No, it's not a very socially accepted question. It's a little delicate. And incidentally, when I was doing the program, someone called for me in Chopali and asked the operator, Gauran Prabhu kaha hai? Bola, jail gaya hai. Bola, sab theek to hai? Bola, nahi, lecture ke liye. So as soon as you say jail, so automatically the whole context changes. So all through that we had, our PR minister for, public relations minister for whole of India, Brajendranandan Prabhu, and few of our other brahmacharis were there with me. So all of us gave a talk and did a kirtan, and then we distributed back to college and everything for free. And I was curious, so as soon as the whole program was over, I went to them, said, how did you come here? And they said that we are Vaishnavas belonging to one particular group. We are devotees of Krishna. And we found that there is a drama troupe which is portraying Krishna in a very wrong fashion. Portraying him as licentious, mundane, political or whatever. And we were very hurt by that disrespect which they were showing towards Krishna. We gave many warnings to that director. He didn't listen. We sent applications to the government. They didn't listen. We tried all peaceful means. Nothing worked. Finally, we threw a bomb when the show was going on. For protecting Krishna, we threw a bomb. They arrested us under Tada, the terrorist and disruption activities. And we have been caught under the Anti-Terrorist Act. Last 4 years we are in the jail. Two of them were doctors, two of them were engineers, one of them was a software techie. Educated people. I said, Hare Baba, what was your whole idea? You didn't know the consequences? We want to create revolution. We want to create a spiritual revolution. But is this the way to create a spiritual revolution? So, what Srila Prabhupada has given us is the actual authentic way to create a spiritual revolution. The only control we have is our own heart. Otherwise, if we try to move the system, it's extremely difficult. Yeah. Can you just move on a little bit to this side? So, that is awaken. The second principle Prabhupada established ISKCON was that when people come, they should be trained. After awakening, then they would want to be trained. So training, giving them the proper understanding of what is Krishna and how to practice the process. So abhideya. So awakening is sambandha, then abhideya. And then under the proper abhideya, then one can actually start practicing Krishna consciousness properly. So that is the very important thing, training. And the beauty of ISKCON is even if a new person comes, immediately the basic concepts are understood very fast. And he begins the process of connecting with Krishna very quickly. That's how Prabhupada set it up. One time, two big Vedic scholars came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And they introduced, Prabhupada, these are two pandits, they are Vedic scholars. They know all the four Vedas. So Prabhupada said, okay, you know all the four Vedas? Can you tell us who is God? And one of them said, Swamiji, that's a very difficult concept to explain. It will take a long time. Prabhupada said, but can you explain in short? He says, no, it is too difficult for us to explain that. It will take time. So there was one Gurukul boy playing nearby. Prabhupada called him. And Prabhupada had a jar, transparent jar of laddus. Glass jar. You could see what is inside. Prabhupada kept his hand on that jar. And the Gurukul boy came running and saw. He was eager. Prabhupada asked, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So the boy could see that if he gives the answer, future is bright. And he was also thinking that who is this Supreme Personality who has come between me and this laddu? So he said, Krishna! Prabhupada immediately looked. Very good. Prabhupada said, one more question. Who is Krishna? He looked again. He said, oh, why not? Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada said, go and play. Prabhupada turned to this pandit and said, ISKCON mein bachcha bhi janta hai. Even a small child knows. So these two pandits protested. लेकिन स्वामी जी वो नहीं जानते कि कृष्ण भगवान कैसे हैं. दे डोंट ही डजंट अंडरस्टैंड हाउ कृष्ण इज गॉड. प्रभुपाद सेड वो तो कृष्णा भी नहीं जानते. कृष्णा ऑल्सो डजंट अंडरस्टैंड बिकॉज बाय द टाइम ही ट्राइज टू अंडरस्टैंड हिज ग्लोरीज एक्सपेंड. देर इज नो एंड टू हिज ग्लोरीज एंड देयरफॉर देर इज अ कॉन्स्टेंट कॉम्पिटिशन between Krishna and his devotees. They cannot come to the end of his understanding his glories. So therefore, we are getting trained. And when you preach to someone and connect them, then it becomes your duty to train. And then the third purpose of ISKCON is to make people understand. So that training must ultimately lead to the proper understanding of what are these tattvas, you know, what exactly is material nature. And that understanding means that it translates into behavior and it becomes internalized. One actually starts behaving according to the proper expectations of the scriptures. So Vasugosh says, Yadi gaur na hoito, tabe ki hoito, ke mane dhari tamge, radhar mohima, jagat janat ke. If Lord Chaitanya was not there, yadi gaur na hoito, tabe ki hoito, what would have happened? Kemone dharitam ge, how would have people survived? Radhar mahima, nobody would have understood who is Srimati Radharani and her glories. Prema rasa sima, the boundary of prema would have always remained a mystery. The Braja Bhakti would have remained mysterious. Jagat Janata Ke, how would they have understood? Sri Rupa Sri Sanatana Bhatta Raguna, Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raguna, Echai Gosai Koi Charana Vandan, Jaha Hoite Bighna Nash Abhishta Puran. So many obstacles may come in the path of our understanding. The training will go through a lot of difficulties. But how do we come to the state of understanding? The lotus feet of the six Goswamis, Echai Gosai Kare Charana Vandan, the power of the lotus feet of the six Goswamis is such, Jaha Hoite Vighna Nash, whatever obstacles may be there on the path can be destroyed. Abhishta Puran, and all of the spiritual desires one may have to serve Krishna to one's heart's content. Abhishta Puran. There is no limit to how much we can serve Krishna. Sky is the limit. Nothing can come between us and Krishna when we want to serve Him except the own selfish desires which act like the bars of the jail, which make the prisoner look at the outside world but doesn't give him access to that. So our own selfish egoistic desires will act as the bars. Otherwise, Jaha Hoite Vighna Nash, all the vighnas are destroyed, Abhishta Puran, all desires can be fulfilled. Tadira Charana Semi Bhakta Sanevas Janame Janame Hoi Eyabhilash. And the greatest fortune we can have is to be in the association of devotees. Janame janame hoy eya vilash. Narottamdas Thakur says, may I get the fortune of being in the association of devotees life after life. Grihe vapone te thake agaurangam bore nake. So Narottamdas Thakur says, Narottam mage tarasanga. Whether one is in grahastha or brahmachari, renunciator, whatever it is, if somebody is chanting the name of Lord Gauranga, of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Krishna, Narottam Mage Tara Sangha. Narottam Das Thakur is eagerly aspiring for the association of such a great soul. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, Tomar Sevaya Dukha Hoyata Seito Parama Sukha Seva Sukha Dukha Parama Sampada Nashaye Avidya Dukha. So when we perform service, it's not going to be easy. There are going to be difficulties, challenges. We will go through a lot of trauma. There will be relationship issues. There will be problems at different levels which we cannot expect. Tomara sevaya dukkha hoyata. Whatever dukkha or distress we experience, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Tomara sevaya dukkha hoyata. Seito parama sukha. That distress in service is my greatest bliss, ecstasy. Seva sukha dukha parama sampada. In seva, the sukha and dukha, both pleasure and distress, is the parama sampada, greatest wealth, greatest opulence. This is the greatest achievement. That is the asset which I am aspiring to accumulate and collect. Nashaye avidya dukha. Because that destroys the avidya, the ignorance. Because whether I am chanting Hare Krishna or not, whether I come to the temple or not, whether I associate with devotees or not, whether I follow four principles or not, I will have conflicts in life. I will have relationship issues with someone. There will be influences of anger, lust and greed. I will be misunderstood by someone. There will be unfulfilled desires. There will be frustrations. It is not that because I am chanting Hare Krishna, it is coming. Whether I do it or not, a certain set of dukkha is already going to come. But when I start serving Krishna, and then when I go through these experiences, then it is worth it. Those dukkhas which are anyway going to come, but I am experiencing and undertaking all of that distress for a noble cause, for Krishna's sake. When the Britishers left India, Prabhupada said, when the Britishers left India, what changed? Nothing changed. It is not that all the buildings in Bombay were collapsed. The railway system was dismantled because the Britishers did it. No. Everything went on. Only the seal was changed. You know, the seal which had the Queen's insignia was replaced with the four lions of the Ashoka pillar. Only the chap, only the sign, only the emblem that changed. That's all. So therefore, whether we chant Hare Krishna or not, our range of activities of doing a job, taking care of family, having a social circle, taking some responsibility, all this will continue. But what has only happened is the purpose has changed from mundane to divine. And therefore we should know that the distresses or traumas or the difficult experiences we are going through, we would anyway go through even if we don't chant a single round. But that would simply take us closer to the next birth in the next life. Whereas this anxiety which we take on Krishna's behalf is bringing us closer to Krishna's lotus feet. It is bringing us closer to eternal life. Therefore, Chakravarti Pad says, between the material world and the spiritual world, there is a ladder. The material world is connected to the spiritual world with a ladder. And in that ladder, there are steps. Every step in that ladder is a disaster. A calamity, and only through that we can go forward. So therefore, to go from training to understanding may not be easy, but then only when we go through this trial of fire, then we can come to the fourth stage, and that is absorption. You know, this awakening, training, understanding lead to fourth stage of absorption, like that. That's very critical. Okay, go ahead. So I have a lot of service, and whenever I make special plans to read, something always seems to come up. How many of you have experienced? You try to read and you say, okay. And at that moment, something comes up. What can I do? Two things. First, one should make it a priority and one should make it a necessity. Priority and necessity. Srila Prabhupada personally did that. Prabhupada was talking to a reporter and said, so Swamiji, I heard that you make your disciples work hard all day. And I also hear that they get very little time to sleep, only 6 hours. How much do you sleep? Prabhupada said, I sleep at 10, get up at 12, 2 hours. And one of the other devotees said, no, our spiritual master sleeps very less, something like 4 hours. Prabhupada said, I said 10 o'clock, I sleep, 12 o'clock, I get up. That is how many hours? 2 hours. Note it down. So Prabhupada slept only 2 hours and he was just busy giving us these books. So he made it a priority. While managing so many properties, disputes, court cases in India, construction, inspiring disciples, you know, preparing for the next generation, training them, doing so many things, it's amazing. So prioritizing is important. Prabhupada was in Bhuvaneswar and Prabhupada wanted Gaur Govinda Maharaj to translate in Odia. So Prabhupada was telling him that you should start this translation in Odia language. He said, Prabhupada, there are so many management things to do to handle this, the construction is coming up. I need one more person. So there was one devotee who was from New York. So Prabhupada said, you call him. So he was in Bhuvaneshwar at that time, just preparing to leave for New York the next day. So Prabhupada welcomed him. He offered his obeisances. Prabhupada smiled at him and said, how are you doing? And Prabhupada asked that he felt something is coming. That he has his plans to go to New York. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I am doing well. How can I serve you? Srila Prabhupada said, I want you to stay here and take care of management and relieve Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj of all of this so that he can concentrate on translating the books. And this devotee, it was too shocking for him. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I've already made plans to go because I find, you know, staying in India very hard. Prabhupada said, you'll get used to it. He said, but Srila Prabhupada, in New York, they've already created a special preaching department for me so that I can take it over. Prabhupada said, there are many devotees in New York. I will organize someone else to take it over. So he said, but Prabhupada, I cannot work with, the GPC here, the in-charge here. And he told the name of that devotee. And I find it difficult to relate with him. I can't work with him, you know. I can't function. Prabhupada said, yeah, I have organized that. He will be transferred as GPC from here to Bangladesh. So I will put someone else, so he won't be the GPC. So you can, no problem. That problem is taken care of. So Prabhupada, my health is a big issue. My health breaks down here too much. Prabhupada said, there is a rural environment, there is nice clean air. You know, you go out and do your morning duties outside and you take a bath outside and fresh air and everything. It will be very good for your health. So now he was running out of excuses. So he finally put the Brahmastra. He said, Prabhupada, I am actually not able to chant my 16 rounds here because my mind is disturbed and my health is not doing good and everything. And there are so many duties, I'm so working hard here, I don't have time to chant my 16 rounds. So if I go to New York, I'll get good association, I'll be able to chant. Prabhupada said, if you are working very hard and you are utilizing every moment, then even if you chant, don't chant 16 rounds, it's okay. Now I won't tell you that reference because people may get very inspired by that. It was a specific reference for someone in a specific circumstance. It's there. If you're working hard, even if you don't chant 16 rounds, it is alright. So finally he said, Prabhupada, okay, whatever you tell me. He said, I already told you, stay here and serve. Manage. so that he can be relieved, so that more of these books can be brought up. So Prabhupada gave a priority to move even major things in ISKCON in such a way so that the book production can happen more in different languages. He made it a priority. You know, one of Prabhupada's disciples, Haridas Prabhu, he was a pickpocket before he met Prabhupada. So his problem was he got initiated by Prabhupada, but after initiation, at night, because he was a pickpocket before, he couldn't sleep. So he came to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, in Juhu, everyone is sleeping except two people, you and me. You are busy translating Bhagavatam. I'm useless. What will I do? So just see Prabhupada's expertise. How will you engage someone who's coming from a background like that, can't sleep at night? What service somebody will give? Prabhupada said, I am translating Bhagavatam, but I am extremely disturbed by the barking of the dogs. Because the barking of the dogs, number one, it distracts my focus. And number two, the sound of the barking goes into the dictaphone. And the person who is typing and transcribing the next day has difficulty understanding. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, and then he's confused. So, you know, it's a headache for me and it is disturbing the transcriber. So you take a stick and keep chasing the dogs all night so that dogs don't come anywhere near. Just see, this was the first service he did. But because he did it in the service of person Bhagavat, Prabhupada, and the book Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavat, he got so empowered that in year 2000, he became the producer of one of the biggest preaching programs, Atma Seva. He's the in charge of the ISKCON television in Mumbai, in Juhu. And he actually, you know, put Atma Seva on Star Plus at that time. So two serials which made Star Plus really number one at that time was Atma and Kaun Banega Crorepati. Both came together. You know, there was a senior vice president in Star Plus, his name is, you know, one gentleman. He used to regularly visit Juhu and devotees took good care of him. So he became very favorable. And for the first time, a spiritual program was aired, and it started in 2001, it went on till 2009, for 9 years continuous. And then it came on Colors Channel, and, you know, it's going on. So who can imagine in 1973, what he will do in 2003, 30 years later, just by sincere, submissive service, in due course of time, one can be empowered. So therefore, when one makes it a priority, so Srila Prabhupada made translation of the books a priority. And he reached up to 10th canto. If you see the way Prabhupada's disappearance video is, 10th canto, 14th chapter, 13th chapter, Brahmastuti, till there, you know, Prabhupada is translating and giving purports. And if you read some of the pastimes in those days, October, November 1977, Prabhupada is translating and the dictaphone is there. And then, because he doesn't have control over his functions, then as he is dictating the purport, he starts passing stool. And then he says, wait. So they stop the dictaphone, clean him up. And Prabhupada said, okay, continue. And he continues. Like a warrior on the battlefield till the very end. So if you look at your bookshelf, you should understand what sacrifice, austerity, dedication, sincerity, diligence, love for the parampara has gone in creating those books, you know, and he has given it as a gift. You just take it. All we have to do is just accept it, you know, like a big feast has been made and someone gives you a plate of feast and you say, okay, feed me, and he brings a spoon also near your mouth and we keep our mouth closed. अरे ओपन योर माउथ, अरे ओपन एट लीस्ट, ऑल वी हैव टू डू इज जस्ट ओपन एंड एवरीथिंग एल्स इज टेकन केयर. Everything is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. So therefore, the priority is very important and we have to keep this as a necessity in our life and then we will really experience, you know, a major transformation in our own lives. And Srila Prabhupada, one person, you know, like Prabhupada was in Jaipur and he told his disciples, you know, one Indian life member came up and he was asking, "Arey, what your Indian or your American disciples, they don't know how to chant shlokas and everything." Prabhupada said, "Arey, my disciple knows." Prabhupada called one living disciple, said, "Chant Vishwapanishad shlokas." Prabhupada said, "She knows the whole Upanishads." And this lady got bewildered, "I know only 5 shlokas." So she began chanting first shloka, second shloka, and her heart was pounding. As soon as she reached the 5th shloka, Prabhupada said, "Stop, that means you know everything." And then this Indian gentleman, he said, "Swamiji, she chanted the shlokas, but her pronunciation was not proper." Prabhupada said, "Her renunciation is proper. She has given up so much to dedicate her life for spreading this message." You know, so Srila Prabhupada was so inspired. So therefore recently in Harvard there was a big study done on India, that so many problems are going on in India in terms of infrastructure and so many difficulties, but still the economy is booming. You know, the roads are not proper, the housing structures are not proper, so much corruption, scams and this and that. How this country is increasing its economy? They were totally bewildered. And one Harvard professor, he came up with a whole theory. And he called it, you know, India is booming because of an important management concept. And he called it Jugaad. Jugaad. Jugaad means only you have to be Indian and Hindi speaking to understand. Somehow or the other, be resilient and do things, adjust things according to time, place and circumstance, but do it. So therefore Prabhupada, he mentioned one thing, utility is the principle. Whatever needs to be done, we must try to do. So therefore there may be difficulties, you know, you may say my schedules are like this, schedules are like that, I feel tired, you know, my back aches. As soon as I start reading, my eyes ache and my priorities are something different. I don't feel the relevance of reading this. But somehow or the other, whatever needs to be done, we have to do. You know, I told you last year's story. I was going for a program at Kharagpur IIT and we landed at Calcutta and it was Bengal Band. The whole Bengal was Band. Nothing moves. Anything moves, they stone it. So there were 2-3 devotees from America with me and we landed. I thought program will be cancelled. The devotee said, "No, we are having program." I said, "How we will travel 3 hours? They said, "We have brought ambulance to take you." So that is one thing in India, for every problem there is solution also. Unique. I said, "Ambulance?" And these American devotees were totally bewildered. "Prabhu, why we are going into the ambulance?" I said, "No, this is a little, you know, out of box thinking." Because you know what happens is sometimes these people, they are angry when their vehicles move. So the only vehicle they may not harm, is an ambulance. So the chances that we will reach safely. But in case something goes wrong, we are in the right vehicle. Nicely planned. They're not used to sudden jhatkas. So India, no problem. So we got in. I was sitting in front, and every 10 minutes somebody was coming and making dharna.
Radhi Javena, Javena, Dharna. So then I would say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Sadhu, Sadhu Achin, Sadhu Achin. Oh, okay, Sadhu, Sadhu, yeah, Sadhu. So one place they stopped and said, nein, we won't allow you to go. We will check who, what is there inside. So they looked behind. And our brahmacharis had been welcomed with garland, and after taking breakfast they were sleeping. They saw that. And we reached. And even the organizers were surprised that you reached. We didn't imagine because there was so much of violence going on everywhere. So Kali Yuga is like that. You try to move your spiritual life and there will be dharna by Maya. Strike. Maya will try to stop your progress. But somehow by chanting of the Harina, Prabhupada has brought ISKCON like an ambulance. Jump into it and then somehow we can be salvaged. And Srila Prabhupada wants us to take shelter of Krishna consciousness through the medium of these books, Srimad Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and only 84 volumes are there. So you can read these books wonderfully. And therefore I am very grateful to be given this opportunity to share a few things. And you know, you have this GEV, just get me the laptop. So we are also very happy that we are in the process of making something very interesting, especially in America. This concept is, yeah, you can put it. Connected. So we have we are creating what is known as a retreat center. Center coming up in Wada, which is like a 2 hours drive from Chowpatty, 108 kilometers exactly from Chowpatty temple. And the concept is basically originating from America. Like I heard retreat centers are very popular here. So His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj gave a vision that we should also have something there. So that the devotees, like there are lots of yoga groups which travel to India for pilgrimage, or many devotees come from different parts of the world, or even our congregation in Bombay and other places. So they can go on weekends or even weekdays and have seminars and other kinds of things. So we started this construction in December and we are trying to work very fast, and that's the reason I'm going early tomorrow back. And we want to, the planned opening is in October. October or November we want to start the operations. So then we'll have the website and you can book your timings when you want to visit for 3 days, 4 days or whatever. So I'll just take a brief 5 minutes to run you through this, what's the current, this is the construction status as of 22nd of June. Yeah, so this is the admin building that This is the place where people will come in. So the interesting thing is these blocks which you see, these bricks have been made on site. And this is known as compressed stabilized earth blocks. So this is going to be an eco-friendly project. We are going to be going in for a green building certification. Like in America you have LEEDs. The equivalent of LEEDs we have in India is called GRIHA, Green Rating for Integrated Habitat Assessment. So we are going in for a GRIHA rating for this. So this whole project will be certified GRIHA rated. So these bricks are not burned, they are just compressed. So you save on the carbon footprint by the burning of it. So, and the blocks were made on the site. So we made around 300,000 blocks on site. Go ahead. So this is like the building where you come and get registered. Yeah, keep going. Yeah. So we are just in the process of constructing. So this is where you come and register yourself in this building. Go ahead. On the other side, that building is where the organic food store will be. We are having around 60 cows and we are going to be making cow products. And we are going for an FDA approved cow products based medicine unit. So we will have 25-30 different types of medicines, but it will be under the FDA standards. So we could even sell in the pharmacy stores in India. And plus along with that, khakra and so many other cottage industry things we will be selling there. Yeah, go ahead. So we'll have like a whole area for adventure sports for children. You know, different kinds of activities. We are having a consultant who is consulting us on this. Go ahead. This is just in the process of being made. Yeah. And then this is the amenities building. Yeah. This is like two seminar halls, each with a capacity of 50 to 60 each. And there is an auditorium which has a capacity of 100. So you can have dramas and other things like a theater. And we'll have an Ayurvedic spa. So where we can have Panchakarma and Ayurvedic massage and Ayurvedic therapies, short term and long term. So this is like an Ayurvedic spa. Right. Yeah. And we also have another kind of construction called a pom. So this was made by the brahmacharis themselves. So we'll be having a facility for alternative construction technology, like if students from America or somewhere else want to come and learn techniques for alternative construction, then we'll be training them. We'll be providing courses where you can actually on-site learn how to make houses or even learn these construction techniques. So this will be of interest for architect students, civil engineering students, or just anyone who is very ecologically aware, you know. So a lot of youth groups can get involved in this practical part, right? Then we have cottages. We are making 21 rooms. So each room has capacity of 4 people, so 84 people at one point can be accommodated, right? So these are just site pictures, and all this progress has happened in a matter of 5 months. And then now we are in the process of, as of today, I got in touch with the site, so all this roof is complete. Go ahead. So each room will be having capacity of 4 people. And it is overlooking the mountains. So we will also have like some mountain climbing and other activities. Go ahead. So the way the rooms are designed is, there is going to be a lot of free ventilation across. So you will practically not need any fans also. That's how the design is. Right? To use minimum energy for the maintenance. So we did a whole 2 kilometers of fencing all across. And this is like a 10-foot pole with barbed wiring on top for the protection from, you know, different elements. Right? So we did a 2-foot depth concreting, and then it is like 8.5-9 feet on top. And this channel you see is like called boundary trenching, which we use for retaining the water which falls as a result of monsoons. We get 3000 millimeters of water every year, annual rate. London is 700 mm, and this is 3000 mm. So all that water which falls will run off the property. So in order to protect it, then we make trenching like this, 3 feet from the fencing.
So all the water flows in a certain direction and it's collected in certain tanks. So the water is retained. Part of it is used for groundwater recharge. Other part is retained for agriculture and other things.
Right.
We have a nursery where we will be having more than 4,000 plants and special medicinal herbs. You know, and they are just in the process of making that. And these are going to be very special plants with which we will also be making various medicines on site. Right. So the plumbing is right now in the process of being completed. We are laying the drainage pipes and also the manholes. So this is one of the manholes, PCC being done. We are also going to have a nice pond for boating. So this 20,000 cubic feet of stone was blasted out of this. And this went for a period of 1.5 months. And you know, this is a 1 acre dimension almost, nearly 40,000 square feet. You know, 45,000 square feet is 1 acre, so this is nearly 1 acre, 60 meter by 60 meter and a little more, and the depth is up to 5 meters. And you know where? Then the government does a geomembrane cover, so it is coming under the government scheme, yeah. And so this, go back, yeah. So the water comes from the mountains, and then there is the inlet there, so from the inlet the water will flow in. So all this rainwater which comes from the mountains can be collected here, and it gets collected to a depth of 5 meters, and then we can have boating here. So this is going to be like a place where we can do boating and other things.
Right.
Yeah, this is the outlet. Yeah. So then we'll also have a swimming pool. Well, a 75 feet by 25 feet depth will only be 4 feet. Because beyond 4 feet in India you need lifeguards, and a lot of legal regulations are there. Right. Yeah. And then there will be some private villas for people to stay, like 2 rooms in every villa. You could either take each room or use the whole villa. Right. So this is another, right now it has reached to the lintel level. Yeah. Then we also made 2-3 kilometers of roads all across the property. Yeah. SBT is soil biotechnology for sewage treatment. So usually you have traditionally the septic tanks, but there is going to be bioreactors which are going to convert the sewage into you know, water which can be used for irrigation. So we are going to be reusing. It is going to be like a sewage treatment, but patented under a technology created in IIT. So IIT is going to be one of the partners for this particular treatment unit. So this is the SBT unit being created. Right now we are making the collection tank for that. Staff quarters, where all our staff will stay, so that is under construction also. Right? And then apart from this, we have a yoga studio for the yoga people. So it's like circular in shape, open from the sides, and on top there will be a fabrication unit and bamboo structure and thatched roof. So it will be covered with a thatched roof on top. And there are like pavilions on 4 sides with pillars to be able to sit like that. So this has reached also the lintel level, and you can see at the, this is the sill level. At the sill level then there is a concreting done, and then they go up for 7 feet. And they have cast 2 beams for strength, and then on top there will be one full structure, especially with fabrication. So this will be operational from November, and anyone can come and experience that ambience with family, or even you can bring in new people. The whole idea is many people feel they feel little difficult to relate in a temple. You know, even many people in Bombay and people who belong to a high society, they don't want to be seen in a temple. But they don't mind going to a retreat and staying for a weekend. So that was the whole idea. So we have been intensely working on this for the last few months. Every week, you know, I'm literally traveling 450 kilometers. Back and forth from Bombay to the construction site and back.
And I'm showing this so that all of you can pray and bless that this reaches its conclusion and we are able to open it on time and serve the Vaishnavas so that everyone gets a great experience. This is phase one, where we have all these facilities. Then phase two, we will be making a very huge goshala for all the cows. We have Gir cows, Tharpatra cows, and the local Sioni breed also. And we have, you know, specializing in hand-churned butter. And from the hand-churned butter, we make ghee. And that ghee, through scientific testing, has been found to have element of gold in that. That is the power of that hand-churned butter converted into ghee. And we are going to have lots of seminars and courses on cow therapy and the, how the cow is such a miracle, you know, a gift. And then after the Goshala, we will also be making a Brahmachari Ashram with all. And the next phase, phase 3, we will be making a beautiful temple for Radha and Krishna. That will be like conclusions. Currently 60 Brahmacharis stay on the farm. And we have more than 120 community family, like total Grihasthas who are staying there, 100 to 120. So around 200 people are already staying. And we are trying to create this so that a lot of wonderful preaching can happen. And especially lot of Western preaching. So if you are preaching to the Western outreach and people are anyway coming to India to visit Rishikesh or any other place and you want them to have a spiritual experience in ISKCON temple, so they could visit Bombay, some temples, and also stay here for a few days. So I just thought that I'll share this with you so that you can keep it in your mind in case you are doing any of these Western outreach programs. Thank you all very much for arranging and organizing this program, and I hope that we meet again next year.
Yeah,
the website is ecovillage.org.in. That has all the information about other activities so far. This activities we have not yet put on website. We will be making a separate website. But it has all the activities going on currently. ecovillage.org.in.
We will take the projector off then.
So we can now have some kirtan. I'll sit with the kirtan group there.
Okay.